Hey, my name's Caden, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message.
Well, greetings, LaCroix family, and Merry Christmas. This is Pastor Ron coming to you on this Christmas Eve service. And wherever it is that you are, whoever it is that you're with, or if you're by yourself, may God's grace and God's the joy of this season be with you. Christmas Eve 2019. Started out like a normal Christmas Eve morning for us. Our family has a tradition, and that is that we go out to breakfast together to Cracker Barrel. I think my mom started this about 25 years ago, about when the restaurant opened, and it's something we do every Christmas Eve morning. It's the only time of the year that we ever go to a restaurant for breakfast. And there's a good reason for that. I'm the only morning person in my family, and the rest of them are not too pleasant to be around before 10 o'clock. So anyway, we did that last year, and then I get back to church, and I hit the ground running, and it's one service after the other, and I love Christmas Eve at LaCroix. Culminates with the midnight service, and it's just such a special day. And then along came 2020. My Christmas Eve 2019 seems like so long ago. Year started out pretty good. I was able to go to a couple conferences, traveled out to Phoenix for the Alpha Conference and did some amazing hiking trails. And then my wife and I and my daughter and grandkids went out to San Diego for the Global Leadership Summit host site event for pastors. And that was amazing. And that was February. And then the pandemic hit. So you remember, this is a leap year. We get an extra day of this year? Of course we do. So February had 29 days, and then the pandemic hits, and I think March had about 300 days, something like that. And then April, the lockdown, I think that had about a year in that month. It's been one crazy year, has it not? The pandemic, first time in over 100 years. And then all of the racial tension and the protests and the violence and demonstrations over the summer. And then hurricanes battering the Gulf Coast. Well, there's so many hurricanes this year that they ran out of prescribed names and had to get deep into the Greek alphabet, seven letters into the Greek alphabet to name these storms this year. And out west, how many millions of acres were destroyed by wildfires? And then murder hornets. I mean, it has been one crazy year. I don't know about you, but coming into this year, and especially after going to those conferences, I felt really strong. I kind of felt like this guy in the armor. And then 2020 comes along. Yeah, exactly. Maybe you feel the same way. I think there needs to be a sequel to the book. Remember a book, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day? I think it needs to be Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Year. That would be a really good sequel. Well, all joking aside, how are you doing? I mean, how are you doing really? This has been a tough year. And every one of us, to one degree or another, has experienced some kind of loss. And we've been grieving that, whether we even realize it's grief. People have commented how much anger there is. And there is. Anger is a secondary emotion. We're angry because we get frustrated, our expectations aren't met, we're disappointed. And we've had a lot of that this year. And so there's been a lot of anger. So how are you doing? It's good to celebrate and remember Christmas because Luke, in his gospel, when he tells us in chapter 2 about the birth of Jesus, we have that great line, "For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You know, most years as Americans, for the most part, things go pretty well for us. I mean, really, the most affluent, prosperous country in the history of the world. We've had so much good medical care, good health, so much going for us. I think a lot of times that language of Savior just kind of goes right over our heads because we think, I don't need a Savior. I mean, really, we may not say it that way because, you know, we got this. But then along comes a year like this, and we're reminded, we need saving. We need help from the outside. So I chose a beautiful passage for Christmas Eve from Isaiah. Isaiah speaks often of the coming Messiah. And this passage in Isaiah 43 is so beautiful. The prophet says, "This is the word from the Lord. Thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Thank God that he sent a Savior for troubled times like this, because we need that bridge over troubled water. A bridge over troubled water, and that bridge has a name. His name is Jesus. And so on this Christmas Eve, I want to look at this beautiful passage, these tender words from the prophet Isaiah. And there are three things that I want us to take home with us, that I want to absorb into our hearts. And that is this. First, you are redeemed. It says here, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you." What is it to be redeemed? It means to be bought back. It means that we have been taken out of the domain of darkness and we have been brought into God's glorious kingdom of light. But this is a special redemption. Paul wants the leaders to understand this as he's speaking to the leaders at Ephesus in the book of Acts in chapter 20, verse 28. He says, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Do you hear that? God purchased us with his own blood. The redemption that we have in Christ is indeed very precious. We've been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. And I want you to notice that this is spoken of as an already done thing. Now, we know that Isaiah writes centuries before Jesus comes into the world, but the biblical writers often will use present tense, like it's already been done, for something that's in the future. "I have redeemed you," even though the redemption comes through the cross centuries later. Why? He's saying that the redemption of God is so certain, so sure, that it's already here. It's a present reality. "I have," not "I will one day," "I have redeemed you." Redemption is such a beautiful word. It means new beginnings. It means a fresh start. It means second chances. And that's what redemption is all about. In prophet Joel, the Lord is speaking about to them after a very tough year. He says, "I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten." This is a year, I think we can say, the locusts have eaten, and the Lord promises us. What a beautiful thought to think that all of the things that we have lost and all of the hardship is going to be redeemed, because our God is a redeeming God. And one other thing in this section I want you to hear. He says, "I know you, I call you by name." Think about that. The God who created the heavens and the earth knows you by name. Now you can say, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah." Well, wait a second. Go outside one night on a clear night when there are no clouds and look up and see the stars and think, the God who created this universe, who flung those stars into orbit, knows you by name. It's incredible. So you are redeemed. And the second truth we see here is that you will pass through the floods and the fire. Notice he doesn't say if, he says when you pass through the waters, when you go through the rivers, when you walk through the fire. The truth of the matter is, God's people experience hardship and difficulty just like everybody else. There's a brand of faith out there that says that if you just have enough faith, you'll never be sick, you'll never have hardship, you'll never experience adversity. And that's just so contrary to the whole teaching of the Bible, because we see from beginning to end that God's people suffer. In fact, Paul says that when we share in the sufferings of Christ, we share in his glory. And so we will pass through the floods. Jesus said it this way in John 16, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Yeah, you'll have trouble in this world, but it's trouble that's redeemed. It's hardship that is redeemed. There's that concept again, redemption. Just a few chapters after this one in Isaiah, the Lord says, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." Notice that I have refined you. God uses the hardships and the furnace of affliction to refine us, to shape us, to mold us, to make us something beautiful, like the silversmith works with silver that has been refined. God is making something beautiful in our lives through all of the hardship, through all of the suffering. you will pass through the fires. I'm preaching this message at Old McKendree Chapel. Friends, we have a beautiful piece of history right here in our own backyard. This is the oldest standing Protestant church building west of the Mississippi River. It was built in 1819. And last year, we had a glorious celebration out here to mark its 200th anniversary. And as I was thinking of this congregation, the congregation was formed several years before they built this beautiful structure. Met here for about 70 years before it went on to become what is now New McKendree Church in Jackson. But for about 70 years, our forebears, Methodist people, met here and worshiped here and got married here and had funerals here. Well, if these walls could speak, what would they say? I was reflecting on some of the history that they saw in this place. The very year that this chapel was built, America was experiencing the Panic of 1819. Back in the 19th century, they called what we now call recessions and depressions panics. So there was the Panic of 1819, which was an severe economic downturn, lasted for 2 years. The very year, think about it, that this chapel was built. And then that was followed by the panics of 1837, 1857, and 1873, a couple of them lasting 4 years and very, very severe. We've been through this pandemic for what, 9 months or so? Friends, our forebears, and I think our forebears were tough people. They were hardy people because they knew affliction. That was kind of a normal part of life. There was the cholera outbreak of 1832 that lasted for 3 years. And it hit the Midwest especially hard. St. Louis up just up the road. Estimates are that between 5 and 10% of the population died. Now think about that in today's population in Cape Girardeau County, that would be over 7,000 people. So much suffering. And that was followed by the cholera outbreak in 1849 that lasted for 2 years. But I think the greatest hardship this old congregation had to face was a vote that was taken in this very building in January of 1845. The Methodist Church was splitting North and South over the issue of slavery. And because Missouri was a border state, they had to decide which way was it going to go, north or south. The Methodist Episcopal Church was remaining in the north, and then the Southern Church was breaking away. The pastor here was an abolitionist, believed that slavery was not God's will, and he encouraged and exhorted the congregation to stay with the Methodist Episcopal Church, and they did. But almost half of the congregation disagreed and left. They formed a couple other churches in the county. And neighbor was pit against neighbor. It was a divisive time. You see, we're not the only ones who've lived through politically divisive times. Oh my. And then the Civil War. If these old walls could speak, you know, there's an old Amy Grant song by that name. And the words go like this. If these old walls could speak, they would have a tale to tell. If these old-fashioned window panes were eyes, I guess they would have seen it all, each little tear and sigh and footfall, and every dream that we came to seek or followed after, if these walls could speak. What would they say? They would tell you that I owe you more than I could ever pay. Here's someone who really loves you. Don't ever go away. That's what these walls would say. Friends, what I want you to hear, history teaches us that we have gone through hard times before and survived, and we will survive the troubles of 2020. You will pass through the floods and the fires. But here's the best part of all. Save the best part for last, and that's this. He is with you. In verse 2, it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. That's God's promise. You know, friends, our hope for a better tomorrow is not in circumstances, is not in political leaders, in governments, in science, or any of that. And those are good things, and we thank God for all of those things and more. But biblical hope is placed squarely in a person, that our hope is found in Him. I will be with you. That's what we cling to. You may have heard of something called the Stockdale Paradox. It was named after Admiral James Stockdale, who was a prisoner of war during the Vietnam War. And he survived and lived to tell about it. And he made some observations along the way about those prisoners who made it and those who didn't make it. And he observed something kind of interesting. He found that the optimists and the pessimists weren't likely to make it through the camp. The optimists, they would get their hopes up and they would say, it's going to get better. We're going to get liberated. We're going to get out of here by Christmas, or we're going to get out of here by New Year's, or we're going to get out of here by summer, whatever. And then that would come and go, and they'd be crushed, and they'd give up hope. And then there were the pessimists who believed it was going to be bad all along anyway, and you know, they didn't have much to sustain them. But there were the realists who said, yeah, this is a very difficult situation. They acknowledged it, and they clung to purpose and meaning. Viktor Frankl, who survived the Holocaust, and his fabulous book, Man's Search for Meaning, found the same thing, that the ones who survived the Nazi concentration camps were the ones who realistically assessed the situation, acknowledged that it was tough, but held on to purpose and meaning. We have purpose, friends. Our lives matter. Our lives mean something. Because what? He is with us. And he says this, you are mine. You. If you're in Christ, if you have faith in Christ, you are God's, and that's our hope. Our identity is secure. It's what Martin Luther meant when he wrote the lyrics to that great old hymn. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. What? In the flood, he's there, he's with us. And the last verse says, let good and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. They can kill our body. They can take everything from us. But you know what? Our soul, our lives are secure because we belong to Him. We are His and He is ours. The best of all is God is with us. Those were the very last words that John Wesley spoke from his deathbed, the founder of our movement, the founder of Methodism. He said, the best of all is God is with us. And a few minutes later, he mustered up some strength and said it even louder. The best of all is God is with us. Emmanuel. I think the New Testament equivalent of this beautiful passage in Isaiah is Romans 8. I'd like you to hear these words from the Passion Translation. Who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's anointed one? Absolutely no one. For nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love toward us. Troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. What about persecutions, deprivations, dangers, and death threats? No, for they are all impotent to hinder omnipotent love. So, now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that His love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, our dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken His love. There is no power above or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And that's the best news. You are redeemed. You will pass through the waters and the fire, but He is with you. I want to end my message with a quote from a nurse, appropriately so in this year. Her name is Celeste Kouriakos, and she is a critical care nurse who has worked with COVID-19 patients since March. Listen to what she wrote. I have witnessed my colleagues and their family members fall ill to this virus, require hospitalization, and even die. I have feared for the safety of my family. I have held the hand of patients dying alone. I have battled insomnia and paranoia. I have found God's presence to be an anchor. I have found peace and confidence, not in the absence of danger and threat, but in knowing I am not alone. Amen, Celeste. I am not alone. And you are not alone. And the hope and the promise of Christmas is that Emmanuel, God with us, has come to be our Savior, because we need saving and we need Him. And when we have Him, we have everything. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the promise and the gift that is Christmas, that you came into this world as Emmanuel, God with us. You came to suffer and to die, to redeem us, to buy us back with your blood, and to call us your own. And so, Lord, in the midst of a hard year, in the midst of a difficult season, we look to you to be our Savior. We look to you to be with us and to find our strength and purpose and meaning and joy and life itself in you. Thank you. Thank you for Christmas, for the promise and the hope that we have grounded in you. For we pray in the name of Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, make sure to like and subscribe. Feel free to share this with others that God has put on your heart. And to learn more about LaCroix Church or to find your next steps, head to lacroixchurch.org. Thanks again for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.